I invite you to open your scriptures to John. We'll be in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 this morning. I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation. I invite you to follow along to hear the reading of scripture from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Well, he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come and give us the gift of interpretation, that you would calm our hearts, that you would help us open our ears and our minds so that we might consider what this passage is inviting us into, that you would illuminate the scriptures. Lord, I pray that the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing unto you, O God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we have entered the final stretch, the final left turn, if you will, into the season of Lent. And now, the Lenten season, if you're not familiar, has asked us to stretch our spiritual muscles as we have worked to rid ourselves of the vanity of our lives. We have been reminded all Lent that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And that dust is what we have to continue to shake off this sin of dust as we walk with Jesus to Jerusalem. Now we are drawing nearer to that holy week and that holy city, and there is a lot to come. Next week we'll celebrate the triumphal entry. We will then on Easter feel Good Friday's disorientation and disbelief of how the Messiah could be crucified, and then we will experience again the joy of Easter. And we are met with a familiar scene today, one that is imploring us to ask good and hard questions of our lives. And this Lent, that's what we've been doing, right? We've been asking the question, what if? What if we embraced generosity? What if we welcomed the immigrant among us? What if we experienced abundant life? And now, what if we embraced love expressed through service? What if we served one another? What if we served the world? Would our actions make a difference, or do we have just really good excuses as to why they can't? In today's passage, we have a lot to consider. So this morning, let's begin with a good riddle. What is black and white and red all over? Okay, we've ruined it already. No, we already guessed it. It's a newspaper. Today's passage has good and bad news for us. Bad news. Judas, the religious leaders, and if we're honest, we, on occasion, have chose judgment and grumbling and apathy towards others. But there is good news, as any good newspaper or any respectable newspaper has. Good news that Mary models for us what it looks like to embrace love through service. So what if we, church, what if we embraced such love expressed through service to God and to one another? Now, we've been in Luke through this lectionary season, and now we're moving into John's Gospel. John's Gospel has been revealing to the reader who Jesus is. Now, he's been doing that with what we call the Book of Signs, which Jesus has done these signs or miracles, first starting at the wedding at Cana, and then he always has these I am statements, right? These are the articles on the front page. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the good physician. I am the true vine. Now, the Gospel of John begins in a really poetic way. It starts with a poem of creation, pointing us to think about how light breaks through darkness and how that light is the Word of God, Jesus. And Jesus, the Word, became flesh and lived among us. Now, the writer of John has compelled the followers of Jesus to embrace the abundant life, the theme throughout this passage and throughout the gospel according to John. And that theme of abundant life comes through relationship with the true vine, Jesus. Jesus has said just before this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And before reading this, Jesus had just resurrected his friend Lazarus, saying, unbind him, let him go. Lazarus drops his grave clothes, becomes alive again. Now the religious leaders, the political influencers, the scribes, they are all conspiring to kill this Jesus. They reject what it might be to serve because they're clinging to their old ways. And if it wasn't complicated enough, if it wasn't juicy enough for the tabloids, this comes right before the high holy holiday of Passover. So this is news to many. Not a surprise to you and I, though, reader. But let's start with the bad news first. The bad news of this passage is that it feels familiar. You might have heard it before, or maybe you've jumbled it up in its retelling, and you've taken a medieval approach, saying that this is Mary Magdalene, and that she was a prostitute, which is actually found nowhere in the biblical narrative. This was a later error by interpreters during the medieval ages. They mixed up the various gospel accounts, and they put all those women together. It was just a lot easier. But really, this is Mary in John's Gospel. Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, Jesus' close and beloved friend, not a prostitute. Or you hear this passage, and you think, this is really strange. I don't know how I feel about Mary washing Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, let alone with her hair. If you thought that was just bad news, well, let's get to Judas. In John's rendition of the story, it's worse. Judas speaks up. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Why waste all that perfume, costly, expensive perfume of pure nard? The bad news, well, isn't that Mary used something expensive, but it's really Judas's lack of understanding. Instead of Judas experiencing this moment and smelling the fragrance and recognizing what commentator Gail O'Day points out, that just in this house, the stench of death that once lingered over this household has been replaced by the fragrance of love and devotion. Judas does not stop to smell the roses or even, in this case, nard. He jumps straight to judgment. And I imagine he doesn't say this softly or inquisitively, but he wants to expose her. 300 denarii in those days, before the Nasdaq's uncertainty, it was believed to be about a year's worth of wages for just a normal worker, a day laborer in the ancient Near East. And typical Mary, right? Jesus is thinking, typical woman doing something outlandish. He's attempting to raise concern. But the next verse tells us, this is not concern because he cares for the poor, but because he's a thief. The same term used in John 10, talking about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because these actions hurt all of the sheep, not just one. That this is an adversarial role, it harms everyone involved. And the gospel writer gives us a little more insight. Not because he cared for the poor. His excuse is not good enough because it's not true. He doesn't care for the people that are in need. He just doesn't like what Mary's doing. He thinks maybe he should get the money. And even more bad news, in today's interpretation of this passage, people try to twist Jesus' words and they claim, well, Jesus even says the poor will always be among us, right? So then I don't have to be responsible for their care. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, they'll always be there, right? Don't we care what Jesus says? Could that be said of us? But the bad news is we are often Judas in this story, in our lives, in our church. And I don't mean this as an insult. This is something I reflected on this week. That this is an invitation for us in this last stretch of Lent to consider that we have fallen short in some places and for God to reveal where that is, because Jesus is extending to us abounding grace and mercy. We are to look to the places where we can be transformed even more by the Holy Spirit, where Jesus is inviting us to care for the poor among us. Not just because that's how it is, but because we believe it should change. Now, the poor here is a term used, poor in spirit, poor in relationship or standing with God, and poor socioeconomically. All of the uses of this term are also implied in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. The bad news is it's easy for us to just jump to conclusions like Judas, especially with the rise of extravagant wealth in churches and religious organizations. Perhaps it sounds like this. Not, why didn't she sell that perfume, but how can they afford nice shoes if they're using government assistance? Or, the prices, tariffs, budget cuts, they don't affect me, who cares? Or, why can't we just send those people, which is not good, those people to the city mission or somewhere else? Or, the people on welfare aren't really trying to get a job. It's not that hard. Meanwhile, you haven't worked in years. You've been fortunate enough to retire, or your spouse works, or whatever other reason you have been blessed or fortunate to have other means of support. The bad news is that there is still poor among us. Not because it pleases Jesus, but because in the brokenness of the world and our own contributions to wage gaps, resource restrictions, and greed. But this bad news does not get the last word in today's reading whenever Jesus is involved. The good news is that Jesus invites us to be like Mary, to embrace this expression of abundant and lavish love. Jesus is preparing, guys, he's preparing to enter Jerusalem. He's situated in Bethany, which I think is west of the city, if I remember correctly. He's with his close friends, with people he loves, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And Mary's not some stranger or some woman that just busts in the door. She's someone that knows and loves Jesus. Mary anoints Jesus with the perfume, and he says she has bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. Mary, this is the same Mary that we see as a student in Luke's gospel in that Mary and Martha scene, right? Where Martha is saying, tell my sister to get up and do something, and Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, because in the Greek, Mary is sitting as a disciple, as a student. This is that same Mary. Just like before, she had wept in front of Jesus just a couple sentences over after her brother's death, and she questions him, Lord, if you would have been there, my brother would not have died. Jesus weeps. He's moved to action, and he raises Lazarus, and that transformation changes her understanding of Jesus, right? She's the one who really sees what's going on in the Gospel of John. The Salt blog comments that she sees what the disciples either miss or refuse to see. That Jesus, even as he prepares for his triumphal entry or Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, he's also preparing for his death. Mary gets it. She's been listening to the teacher. She's witnessed his power. This is the Messiah. This is the one who has come in flesh and blood. In his incarnation, his dwelling with us is to reconcile and redeem. And that was not missed by his faithful servant, Mary. Now, her washing the feet of Jesus is a sign of love, and it foreshadows Jesus' own actions. This same verb used for wiping his feet with her hair is used in the next chapter as Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. A humble action of a servant. Now, Jesus, our King, our Messiah, will then wash the feet of his servants, and he will say in John 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and truly that is who I am. So if your teacher and Lord washes your feet, then you should wash one another. I am your example. Keep doing what I do." Not only does this moment with Mary encourage Jesus to such love, it was an act of discipleship, but it was also an anointing of a king before Palm Sunday. Now, we believe Jesus to be our King and Messiah. And Alan Dwight Callahan writes that in Bethany, at the hands of Mary, Jesus literally becomes the Messiah, which means the anointed one. Anointing in Israel's history is a ritual that marked a king. Think about the anointing of Saul, the anointing of the various kings. Jesus will then enter Jerusalem next week as a king. And that comes with a lot of political baggage. It comes with some inherent rivalry, as the Roman Caesar ruled with power and oppression and fear. But there's more good news. Jesus defends Mary's actions. He defends her from people questioning her devotion. Replying to Judas, Jesus speaks, "Leave her alone. She has chosen the better part." Yet again, Mary has shown her love by serving Jesus. And Martha, let's not forget Martha. Martha in this passage is serving too. She's being hospitable to guests. There is good news of love everywhere in our reading today. And there's good news for our world. We have the opportunity to show our love and devotion for Jesus by listening and acting on his teaching. Now, we don't have to be bound by greed and the mindset of scarcity that seeks to always divide and conquer us. The fear that scarcity is all that we will ever know. Now, that keeps us from loving and giving and acting and experiencing God's abundance. We have faith. We know that there is more than enough to go around, and we are invited to give to each other and to give to our neighbors. Mary does not withhold such costly perfume because she knew the importance of serving Jesus in this moment. She had a relationship with the teacher, and it's out of that relationship and love and abundance that she does this. Mary has experienced the same love, and so she serves people dinner, practicing hospitality. There is here a limit of 300 denarii. But for those of us that know God, we know that there's always provision, that there's more than enough. Now, this scene calls us into deeper consideration. What if we embrace service like Mary? What if we rejected that whisper of selfishness? What if we serve to serve our church family by championing each other's faith journey and being forgiving when we fall short? Or to serve our Savior by spending time with God in prayer and study and scripture reading and fostering a relationship with Him? What if we served our neighbors by working towards justice and equity for the least of these in our community? We serve because we know that we are called to wash the feet of others as Mary washed Jesus' feet and Jesus washed the feet of his disciples on the night he would experience betrayal of a friend. We have the ability to embrace the possibility that our service can show the love of Christ to other people and remind them that they are loved by a God that invites them to be welcomed home. That with that, we have an invitation to share the good news of liberation, healing, and salvation among the poor with us. And we will work towards alleviating poverty. We will reject that children go to bed hungry and are evicted in our community. And we are not okay with people in our pews and families and workplaces and neighborhoods that struggle with mental health only to feel isolated and forgotten. Often, they are unable to navigate how to get help. And the good news is that we are called to stand in the gap, to wash the feet of each other out of love, to share our hope that we have in Jesus, and to put God's love into action and service by coming alongside people. Jesus here is anointed as a king that will willingly empty himself on the cross. The good news is that Jesus is still in the business of restoration and relationship. This is good news for us, even as we come to the end of Lent, when things feel heavy and dark. So let us be moved. Let us be moved to question, what if? And that what if is, what if it looks like? What if we love? And that love looks like action and service for the good of our community, so that people would come to know that Jesus is abundant love and reckless love. And that I think should be on the front page. Amen.